Well, the last two poems that I want to read are quite different from anything that I've read till now, and they're a whole different kind of a poem altogether, each of them. I don't know whether to say too much or too little is better about them. The first of them, anyway, is a kind of poem that critics love to hold up and wave and say it's a dramatic monologue. It's not. There's a central figure in it, and the poem, it's that central figure in some respect becoming articulate rather than speaking. The poem is a kind of verbal emanation from this person, and it doesn't have the grammar of it is not the grammar of dramatic and logical and ostensibly rational speech. The figure in it is the New Testament figure of Pilate, but it's also every one of us. And what he's speaking about is, in a moral as well as a linguistic sense, language. What one says, where one is, and what is said to one, what the world says. And that's a betrayal of the poem, because it's a crass oversimplification of what he's really talking about. But I'm giving you some kind of clue so that you're not lost by the strangeness of the poem, I hope. Pilate. It has a life of its own, however long it served Pharaoh, and so a heaven of its own to which its own blood calls, which should be heard with respect when they call crucify, crucify him of its own. Why should you not see it unless it is walking arm in arm with objects which you think you can see without it, when low empire itself is not visible? And a future of its own, the prophecies waking without names in strange lands on unborn tongues, those syllables resurrected, staring, is that heaven? All the pain to find its hands again old. But you must not suppose that because of the centurion's reports, eclipses on frontiers and the beards there blowing through wooden fences, dead men, but there are no flies in that wind crying, sand only, the long arrows and the kissing arrows, through which his wife coming with her spillage of dreams because of this man, but it is the broken windows that look to the future. And empire is the viewing is different, so a dream itself. And how can a man voyage on more than one bark, one trireme, one skiff with one oar at one time, even after the washing is heard on that shore and the one oar? And you should not imagine either that you yourselves are later or far or otherwise else, above all those tongues lit at the top of arms under the lungless banners, the dread in amber, the silence rolling on before the shadows burning on the walls with dark cries, or going home a long way back through the baths, the gowns dripping, the feet growing barer, and the dark flights vanishing into the cracks in the day. It is termed an alien judgment. They are like that, and can force then be held accountable that has no life of its own, the dark wine, dark throats, the call that hangs in the banners until it falls, as shall the banners fall from the walls, from the sky, its smoke, its eagles. What was I put here to change? I was not put here to change. Could I change myself, my hands and their dreams, a life of their own with its own heaven, own future, own windows, washing? Can I change what they do before I am born, for they will do it without me, arm in arm with objects? But lo, myself is not visible to these, this man, the life of its own without me, its smoke, its eagles, and wooden fences. And tonight the hands in the outer circles of the soldiers' corner fires, later than the last meal, gesturing in the reeling night, washing in darkness, afterwards will go home, and the darkness will let itself down into their prayers.